Begin the current daven. Sechtes kitten daven nun gimel. Begin on the bottom daven nun beis and beis. 5 lines up in the bottom of the amud. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is discussing the halacha of tikkun olam, certain halachas that were instituted as a way for the rabbis to consider the world to run efficiently and effectively. As the Mishnah explains this halacha, hamid tamei, if someone makes someone else's produce that's tahar, for example, let's say it was truma, and he makes it tamei, or vahamidameya, where he mixes truma into his friend's chulin produce, where he obviously creates a loss for his friend, because now his friend, who is not a kayin, can't consume it because there's truma mixed inside of it, and rather he has to sell it to a kayin, which obviously that sells at a cheaper price, because only kahanim could eat it, and the rest of the Bnei Yisrael can't eat it. And v'hamnasich, someone pours his friend's wine, and the Gemara will explain exactly what does that mean when he says he pours his friend's wine, which generally that refers to nisach, which is the pouring of Avodah Zarah. So then, regarding all these three areas, the Mishnah tells us, b'shoigig pater, if he does it inadvertently, does it by mistake, then he's going to be exempt from tashlumet, from payment. The Gemara will explain what's the reason why he's exempt, because ultimately he's obviously causing this person a loss. The fact is that he can't, the truma gets ruined when it becomes tummy, and he can't eat this that's mixed with truma. And of course, when someone does Avodah Zarah with his item, it becomes aser. But b'shoigig he's exempt, b'meis is chayav, but when he does it deliberately, he's going to be liable. Now the Gemara has idmar, we learned there was a following of machloikas regarding menasich. Regarding the third case of menasich, what does that case refer to? So Rava, menasich mamash, he says it literally means to say when someone puts his fingers into the jug of wine and he pushes the water around for the purposes of idol worship, which that was the Avodah, that's how they would worship their idols, that's called Nisach, about pouring the wine. This guy actually did Avodah Zarah with his friend's wine. Ushmul Amim Ma'arav, where Shmuel says, it means to say, you take Yayin Nesach, which was wine that an idol had worshipped, idol worship with it, he mixes it into the kosher wine of his friend. Now the Taruv is it's forbidden mixture, and now just like anything of Avodah Zarah is forbidden to have anah, now this wine is going to be forbidden to have anah from. That's a machlekes. What was this case of menasich, which is creating a loss for the friend? But again, as we said, if you did a b'shegig, you're going to be exempt, and if you did a b'meiz, you're going to be chayiv. So the Gemara explains, manda am ma'arav, according to Shmuel, it says that what do we mean when we say menasich, and not that this Jew actually goes and does an idol worship with it? It means say he mixed in this non-Jewish yayin nesach together with the Jewish person's wine. My time lo ema menasich. Why didn't he say like Rav, that it literally means, like the word usually means menasech, that he actually did Avodah Zarah with it. So Amalach, Kishmul would tell you, menasech, you can't say that that's the case of the Mishnah, that if it was done deliberately, he would be chai b'tashlum, that he would have to compensate his friend. The reason being is because literally doing menasech is idol worship. Now, if someone does idol worship, he actually gets stoned for doing the idol worship. And therefore, kamle b'dir abirinei, he's what? He only gets the most severe of the two punishments. So you can't say that's the case of the Mishnah, that if you did it deliberately, you're going to be chayav b'tashlum, because you're not. Because you're actually going to be stoned to death. So you're not going to be paying the money. You only get the more severe of the punishments. So you can't say toma menasech. So rather it means to say when you're mixing it together, you didn't do idol worship, but you made your friend's wine forbidden. That's when you do it deliberately, you're going to be chayav b'tashlum. Now v'idach. However, Rav would tell you that's not true. Because Kederabi Yirmiyah, Dom Rabbi Yirmiyah, like Rabbi Yirmiyah said, the Mishas Hagbah, if in the moment that you pick up the friend's wine to steal it, meaning you're stealing when you're causing the damage of doing idol worship with it, so who the kind of, in the moment you pick it up, you already have acquired it, what's called kinyan gezela, and you're already from that moment liable for tashlumin for payment when you're doing it deliberately. But the liability of the person's own soul, meaning that it's going to be chayv skila for doing avodah zarah, that comes at a later point in time. If you're going chronologically, which is a linear fashion, the liability for the theft didn't happen at the same time. Kamalei b'drabanei is only if it happens at the same time, then you get the more severe of the punishments. But Rav says, you could say Tomat b'menasech, and still you'll be chayv v'tashlumin, because the chiv skila only happens when you do the mixing with the wine, but the picking up is when you're already chayv in the tashlumin. Now the Gemara asked the other way. Well, the manda b'menasech, according to Rav, that says it meant literally the doing of Avodah Zarah with the pouring of the wine, my time Elohim Ma'arav, why didn't he say like Shmuel that it doesn't have to mean so severe that you're doing idol worship? Why can't it be that it was mixed, the Yayin Nesach, with the kosher wine? So Amalach, Rabbi tell you no, because Ma'ariv, as we continue on top of the Gimel Menalv, Hainu Midabeya. That's the same thing as the previous case of the Mishnah, of when someone mixes something forbidden in the permitted wine of his friend. Now, since we already told you in the Mishnah that when you do Midameya, which is mixing in Truma into your friend's Chulin, that the rabbis penalize you when you do it B'mezin, so obviously we would know by extension that the same thing would apply to Menasech when you're mixing in, okay, not Truma, but when you're mixing in Yayin Nesech into your friend's wine. And therefore it says, Rav, the Mishnah wouldn't have to tell us that case. But now that it's like Rav explained that it means literally Menasech, oh, so it's necessary for the Mishnah to tell us that case so that you shouldn't think that it's Kam Lebedrabmine and that you'd be exempt. That's the Chiddush, like Rabbi Imriya, that's no, it's not Kam Lebedrabmine because it didn't happen at the same time because the Chiyav Gezela, the Tashlumin, happened at the time that you picked it up and the Chiyav Skila only happened later when you did the actual Nesach. Now, Be'idach, however, Shmuel would respond to you that the cases of Mitame and Midameya, this that we said that when you do a delivery, you're going to be Chayav, that's Knosahu. That's not a din. That's really just a rabbinic penalty because of, and that's why we're introducing that in our Mishnah of the Tikkun Olam, because really it's what's called Hezek She'enu Nikol Lo Shmei Hezek. An unrecognizable damage, because on the surface it looks the same, is not really halachically considered a damage. So at most it's a penalty. You can't learn out one area of halacha from another one, which is a knas, because where the rabbis made a penalty, that's where they made it. Where they didn't make it, they didn't make it. So therefore, says Shmuel, it's not a tiny what you're saying, oh, Menasa can't be Ma'arav because then it's the same thing like Mindameya. Why would we repeat another case that's the same concept? And then it says, no, because since they're all knosses, if the rabbis made a penalty here, even though it's the same exactly this case, if they didn't make it here, then they didn't make it. And therefore, we had to say the case of Menasa, which yes, it's the same halacha concept as Mindameya, mixing in something forbidden, but it could be that it wouldn't apply over there, and that's what we have to say because it's a kanas, and you can't learn out. You can't compare one kanas to another one. Now the Gemara asks that therefore, by extension, ulamanda yalav kanasa mekanasa. According to Rav, who as we just explained, he says the case of menasach literally means to say that he did nesach. He actually did some pouring for idol worship, this Jewish person in his friend's wine. Now why? He said because it can't be told by ma'arav of mixing yayin nesach into kosher wine. Because he said that you don't need, because you would know that from Midameya. Even though Shmuel just explained that these are all, and that's the halacha of our Mishnah, that they're just rabbinic penalties. Because Hezek She'eni Nika, Lo Yishmei Hezek. So therefore, obviously, he holds that you could learn out one knas from another one. You would know Ma'ariv of Yayin Esach from the case of Midameya, of mixing Truma into the person's chulin. So therefore, according to Rav, then Kol Hani, then all the different cases of the Mishnah, we said Mitame, we said Midameya, we said Menasach. So Lomali, why was it necessary to say all the cases? Just say one, and we will learn out one from the other because they're all rabbinic penalties and they're all the same idea. They're all Hezek, She'en, and Nikr, but rabbinically we consider it Hezek for Tikkun Olam. So say one case, and you could learn out according to Rav Kanas from Kanas. So that the Gemara says, no, Tzricha. It was necessary to say all the three cases, as the Gemara explains. The Itan and Mitame, if we had only said, let's say, the first case of when he makes, like, puts a sheretz onto his friend's tummy, he makes his friend's truma tummy. E truma, let's say it's a case of truma. So havamina, I would think to say, Mishum de Komafsid lo legamri. Since he's totally ruining his friend's truma, because now you can't eat truma, not a coin, not a non-coin, can't eat truma that became tame. So maybe over there the tikkun olam was that we would say that we're going to penalize the person that does it amazing. Or let's say the imitame chulun, let's say it's a case where it wasn't even truma. It was his friend's chulun that he made a tame. I would think maybe over there we penalized him that b'mezid he's chayv b'tashlum. Shem da astro ligrim tumal chulin shem ba'aretz Yisrael, because there is halacha that one is forbidden to make even chulin in Eretz Yisrael tame, and that's because of what's called the prushim. The prushim are those people that have elevated statuses in halacha that they even eat their chulin in the state of tahara. Now, so since that's forbidden to make chulin tame because there's all the prushim, the separis that need to have these. They're chulin even in the state of Tara, so it's forbidden to make even chulin tame. So we would think because the person that made the chulin tame, since he did something forbidden, so that's why we penalize him. So we would understand why when you metame someone else's object, his food, either truma, or because that's creating a total loss, or by chulin, where at least that's something that's forbidden, so then we would understand that you penalize. Av medameya, but in the case that when you mix in truma to someone else's chulin, where that's not a total loss, because kahanim could still eat it like regular for them. Now it would cause a slight loss for the owner because now he has to sell to kahanim as a smaller market. He wouldn't be able to make that much money. But emaloi, there I would say that you wouldn't create a penalty because it's not such a loss and the guy's not doing a violating an iser. So therefore, you also have to say the case of medameya. Now, v'iyash min medameya, had we only said the case of mixing in truman to your friend's chulin, mishum neshchiach, because that's something that's common to happen. Because you have truman and chulin, they're all around, and there's nothing really forbidden by doing that. So therefore, as Rashi tells us, by something that's milsa neshchiach, something that's common to happen, there you say avri rabbanan tekanta. There the rabbis made an institution. In other words, there they created the penalty so that the person doesn't do that. But creating someone else's either truma chulin where it's not so common because it's something that's forbidden to do. Emaloi, maybe there I would say that we don't penalize because it's a milsad l'shchicha l'gazer b'rabbanan. So that's why you always have to say the case of metame. Now v'iyash min metame d'ameya, and had we said those two cases of making someone else's produce tame or mixing in truma into his chulin, mishum d'le kimlin b'dirabine, because there's no question that there's no other greater liability that you have when you're doing that, so that's why we can penalize you if you do it deliberately. But regarding when you're doing, as Rav said, it means literally doing avodah zarah, there we would entertain to say that you would be exempt from the liability of the payment because you're already liable for a greater punishment of skila. Emaloi, there I would say that we wouldn't penalize you. That's the chiddush. That's why we needed the third case, like Rabbi Yirmiyah said, because no, it's actually not kamla b'drabine, because the moment that you pick it up, you already acquire it, and then you chayiv in teshlumin, and the chayiv misa only comes later when you do shichshich b'yada, when you actually mix the water, when you shake around the wine for the purposes of idol worship. And again, that's why according to Rav, although he learns that kenasa and kenasa, you still need all three cases, that you wouldn't know one from the other, even though you generally could learn kenas. We wouldn't think that in those cases the kenas would apply. But now the Gemara asks as follows. So that works out in the Mishnah. But v'lohad tani avu d'reb oven. But from this brisa that the father of oven taught, that said as follows: b'rishayna ha'yo'emer. Originally they said hametame v'hamanasich, that the penalty of doing it deliberately applies when someone is metame his friend's produce, or when he does nisach, when he does menasich, which is avodah zarah in the wine. Then they ended up saying, and they added on a third case where they also penalized, and they included even the case of mixing in someone else's mixing truma to someone else's chulin produce. Now the question is, kalhane lamali. There the question would be, Rav's answer that it worked in the Mishnah wouldn't work in this brisa. Why did it need to mention all three cases? In other words, since menasech was already mentioned in the first two cases, so for sure I would know that midameya would be included. Because there you can't even say kimle b'diramine. So if menasech, where you would even think kimle b'diramine, and still we say that there you're going to be chayav b'mezid, why did it have to then chazru loyim afen da medameya? Of course, you call it not kenas from kenas. Why would we think that medameya would be any less stringent than the case of menasech, where if menasech, you would think you'd be exempt because kimle b'diramine, still you're not. So for sure medameya, you'd be chayav. So the Gemara says, no, tzricha, there also it was necessary. Because the iash mina metame, if we had only said the first case of metame, mishum deloy kimle b'drabine, because there's no kimle b'drabine, so maybe over there we penalize. Av menasech to kimle b'drabine imeloy, but again, by the case of doing avodah zarah, we would think that it would be considered kimle b'drabine, that you would think there you would be exempt. So that's why you have to say the case of menasech. Now, the iash mina menasech, had we only said the case of menasech, mishum dekom mafsid le legamri, because that's creating a total loss for the person that you're doing his wine for avodah zarah purposes, where you're making it forbidden to have any benefit, because avodah zarah can't have any benefit. Al metame deloy mafsid le legamri, but the first case of metame, which is not a total loss. Now, although it is a very big loss, because regarding the truma itself, the kohen cannot eat anymore, but it's still fit to use as fuel, or you could use it for animal feed, because even if someone's metame truma, you could still use it for fuel or use it for the kohen's animal. So there, emaloi, maybe by the case of metame, where it's not a total loss, menasech is a total loss, but metame is not a total loss, maybe there we would say that we don't penalize, so that's what we have to say also the case of metame. So we know why you need a metame menasech. Now the Gemara explains why we would also need to say medame, and we wouldn't know it from those two cases. Because v'yash min hanitarti b'shem dehefsin merubah. Have we only said those two cases of metame and menasech? That's because those are hefty losses. Menasech is a total loss. And metame, there's also a huge loss because you can't use it for human consumption anymore. So for fuel, You know, you could use anything for fuel or for animal feed. So maybe there we penalize. Amidamea dehefzin mu'ud, but regarding the mixing of truma into someone else's chulin, which is just a small loss because kahanim could still eat it. It's still usable for food. You could sell it in the market. It's just a smaller market. Emaloi, there I would say that we don't penalize even though it was done deliberately. Tzricha, that's where the Gemara resolves it for Rav, even according to the Braisa of Avud Rav Oven, that even in that order, it was necessary to say all the three cases that we penalize if the person was did it deliberately, as we said in the Halacha of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara continues regarding this topic of our Mishnah, regarding Hezek She'en Nikir, which up until now we had assumed that Hezek She'en Nikir is Loishme Hezek. The Gemara actually brings it as a Machlekes. Amar Chizkiya, Chizkiya says, Divat Torah, according to biblical law, Echad Shogig ve'echad Mezid Chayiv. Truth is, whether it was done inadvertently or deliberately, you're really liable. My timer. Because Hezek She'en Nikir, unrecognizable damage, for example, like the cases of the Mishnah where they don't change as they were, the wine looks the same, the produce looks the same, everything looks the same, says Chizkiya, the actual halacha is, biblically, is Shmei Hezek. It's actually, it's called damage. Now, because regarding damages, the Torah doesn't differentiate when a human being creates damages, whether he did it inadvertently or deliberately, as the Gemara says in Baba Kama Daf Pehema Beis. So therefore, since unrecognizable damage is still damaging the person's things, although it looks the same, but if a person would put in cyanide, obviously it's very different. Here also, when you make it tamei or when you menasach it, you do it for the zara, it's a damage. And therefore, there's no difference between b'shoigig or b'mezid when you do real damage. Now, umatam amu b'shoigig pata, but says Chizkiya, then why in the Mishnah did we say that if someone does it inadvertently, then he's going to be exempt? Why? Biblical law, you damage, is kadesh yediyoi. It's so that the person who is metamet or was medameit, that it should notify the owner that he did it by mistake. Because if you're going to make him liable, he's not going to say. He's not going to want to admit because he doesn't want to have to pay that huge hefty thing. He didn't realize he did it by mistake. And that's going to cause the owner of that to violate the isser of, let's say, having enough of him by the zara or consuming truma that's tame, which is, these are ochiyu b'misam. So that the person should want to notify that he did it by mistake, so we say that he's going to be exempt. But according to biblical law, actually, you're chayiv. Now, the Gemara wonders, ihachef el b'mezinami. Then if that's the case, why we exempt him is so that he should notify, then even if he does it deliberately, no one could tell the difference. If we want the guy to find out, we should exempt him even when he does it deliberately. But the Gemara says, no. Hashta lazuki kamachav, and the guy who deliberately did that, why did he do that? Because he wanted to cause problems for that guy. He wanted to get to him. Now, if I do a lemoy delay, so you think he's not going to notify the guy? The whole point was to say, you can't drink your wine anymore. Why not? What do you mean? My wine's here. Well, I did have a dessert with it. You what? Yeah, I'm sorry. Right? So then, of course he's going to notify, because if the guy doesn't know, he's going to eat it. He's not going to know. For him, it's going to be an oinus. He's not doing anything that is going to be causing him some halachic problems. He's doing it because he wants to chepe him, he wants to bother him. So of course he's going to notify him. So there we don't have to exempt the person so that the guy finds out about it. Trust me, he'll find out about it. So b'mezid he's chayiv. But b'shogeg, we exempt him from the biblical law because we want him to notify him where he doesn't want the guy to know. He didn't do it on purpose. And he would like it if no one knew anything about it. So that he notifies, we exempt him when he does it b'shogeg. That's the opinion of Chizkiya. Rabbi Yechanan, he goes the other approach. He argues. He says, Dvar Torah, actual biblical halacha regarding Hezek She'en Nikir, is Echad Shogeg ve'Echad Mezid is Pater. Whether you do it inadvertently or even if you do it deliberately, biblical law says that you're exempt. My time. What's the reason? Because Hezek She'en Nikir, lo yishmei Hezek, in unrecognizable damage, is not considered damage. When the Torah talks about that you damaged someone else, that you chayv, is when you broke his box. You did something that was an actual damage. Here, it looks the same. It's unrecognizable. That's not considered in halacha damage. Now, umatam amu b'mezid chayiv. So then why do they say that if you do deliberately in our Mishnah that you're going to be liable if you're really exempt? And this is the tikkun olam. Ishlo yehe kol echad ve'echad hoylech umatam itaresav shalchaveri. So that everyone shouldn't go and say, you know what, I'm exempt. He takes something tamei and he pours it into his friend's truma. V'orim apotan, he's going to say, you know what, I'm exempt, I'm sorry, I don't have to pay. We don't want anyone doing that because they're going to cause problems for everybody, because ultimately it is going to cause the person a loss. So to deter that, we went and we created a takanas olam of penalizing someone that does deliberately. But actually, according to biblical law, the guy is actually exempt. Now, of course, if it's someone that is b'shogeg, we have no reason to penalize him because he didn't do it on purpose. Now the Gemara asks many different questions on the opinion of Chizkiyah, who holds Hezek Sheni Nikur, according to biblical law, is actually Shmei Hezek. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah on the next daf in the Nundalam Abayz that says as follows. HaKahanim Shepiglu B'Mikdash. Kahanim that create pigle in the karbanis that they're bringing in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning when he's either slaughtering a carbon or he's throwing the blood of the carbon, he says that I'm doing it with the intention to eat from the carbon past the time that you're allowed to eat from it. So the halacha is that it creates the carbon becomes what's called pigle. It's unwanted. And it doesn't create an atonement for the owner who's bringing that carbon. So the Mishnah tells us that if Mezidim, if the Kohen did it deliberately, he knew that this is going to make the carbon puzzle, well then Chayavin. Then he's liable, he's responsible to pay the owner the value of the carbon that he now lost, because now he has to bring a new carbon. And even Rashi says, even if it's a carbon nedava, which was a donation, which he doesn't have to bring a new one, it's still very harsh in the owner's car, in the owner's eyes who brought this carbon, because he wanted to bring a gift to the Beis HaMikdash, and now he lost out because this Kohen, he went ahead deliberately and made it to pickle. So he has to compensate the owner. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Now, B'tani Allah, we learned in the Brisa that explains that Mishnah, Mimnei Tikkun HaOlam, that this halacha is because of Tikkun HaOlam. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is that what the Brisa is saying is that why is the Kohen liable if he does it amazing? Because of Tikkun HaOlam, that Kohen shouldn't get in the habit of saying, I don't like this guy, I'm not going to be chayiv if I do it amazing. So let me just do amazing and let this guy lose out. To deter, we made a Tikkun HaOlam that he's going to have to pay if he does it deliberately. Now that the Gemara asks on Chizkiyah, the Amr Hezek, Shein and Nikar Shmei Hezek, but if you hold biblically the halacha is to even unrecognizable damage, which is like pigle, which is you're really doing the regular avoida. It's just a thought that you're having in mind. But even though it's Ein and Nikar, it's Shmei Hezek, well then, Hai Shegim Petur Ne Tikkun HaOlam Mibayle. The Gemara asks, it shouldn't have said that if he does it deliberately, he's liable because of Tikkun HaOlam. Because actually, the liability when you do it deliberately is actually the biblical halacha. The Tikkun HaOlam was on the exemption when you do it b'shogeg, as we said before, according to Chizkiyah, so that he should notify the owner. So it should say that when he does it by mistake, then he's exempt. That's because of Tikkun HaOlam, because he didn't realize, I didn't know that that's pigle, I'm sorry. And he wants the owner to know about it, that he could know to bring a new carbon. But if he were to notify, he would have known. So that's what it should say. But it shouldn't say you're chayiv b'mezid because of Tikkun HaOlam, because that's the deraisa. If you hold hezik sheni nikar shmei hezik, so the Gemara says no hachin av kama. Actually, this is what the Brice is saying. I mean, the Brice is saying that when it says in the Mishnah on daf nun dal that mezidin chayavin, that when you do it deliberately, you're going to be liable if you're a coin that was mafagel someone else's carbon. Now the inference of that halach is hashaygim peturin, but if you did it inadvertently, you're exempt. That says the Brisa, so that in inference is when they Tikkun HaOlam, because of Tikkun HaOlam. Because although, yes, like Chizkiyah, biblically you're chayiv, even if you did it b'shagig, but rabbinically as Tikkun HaOlam, so that the person should find out about it, therefore they instituted that if you do it by mistake, that you're going to be exempt. That is what the Tikkun HaOlam is going on, not on the Mezidin Chayavim. But the Gemara continues asking on the interpretation of Chizkiyah that holds Hezek She'enin Nikar Shmei Hezek. Masav Reb Elazar. Reb Elazar asks in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Ha'isa malacha b'mei chatas. If someone does work with the para aduma ashes, which is the water that's used for the para aduma that's thrown on a person that's a tamei meis on day 3 and day 7, so too if he, let's say, does malacha uba paras chatas, with the actual cow itself. Which halacha is that if someone does work with either one of these things, it becomes possible because of the work. Like the pasuk says in Bamidbar Yotes, it says regarding the para, it says Ashaloi ola ala oil, that a yoke has not gone on the para aduma, on the red heifer, and so too it's a problem when you do the work with the mechatas, with the water itself, where there's the ashes of the para aduma and then there's the water, because the pasuk says lemishmeris lemeinida, should be for a safeguard for the waters of purification, which the Sefri says, what is that coming to teach us? Because the Sefri says you would think that it's the problem of malacha is only like the pasuk says regarding the parah itself. How do you know it applies to the water also? That's what the pasuk teaches you. L'meshmeres l'meinida. In other words, it should be safeguarded for the purposes of only being used l'meinida for the purification waters and not for anything else. Meaning, if you do other work with it, that will invalidate the mechatas. So the Braisa says if someone does malacha with either one of these things, which invalidates them. So he's part of Medina Adam. He's exempt from law in this through the courts. I mean, he doesn't have to pay which obviously that's a big loss. The red heifer is very hard to come by and so on. But v'chai b'din shemayim, he's liable in the hands of the heavenly courts, which is that they punish the wicked people because his intention was to create a loss for a Jewish person. So he's going to be liable in din shemayim. That's what it says in the Braisa. That asked Rabbi Lazar, the Iyamar Hezek Shein Nikash Mehezek Ibisi like Chizkiya, that unrecognizable damage is still considered a full-fledged damage. So Bedini Adam Nami L'chaim. So the person should be liable in courts too to pay. Why not? Because he created this loss by doing work with it. So if you create a Hezek Shein Nikash Mehezek, you should be chayiv. So why are you exempt from Dini Adam? So that the Gemara answers, Hu Moisiv Lo V'hu Mefarek Lo. Rabbi Lazar asked the question and he gave the answer and he explains. The case of the para, when we say that you did work with the cow itself, that you're going to be exempt from bedini adam, it's talking about a case she'echnisa l'rivka, where this guy who created the problem by doing work with it, he put it into the barn, amenas she'tinik, for the purpose of the para duma going to nurse from its mother. But additionally, he had in mind v'todush, that once it's going in there, it should thresh the produce that's there together with all the other animals. So on that, Rashi explains, so we can't require this person to have to pay for the damage that it caused. Why? Because he says, what do you mean? I had the paraduma go into the barn for good reasons, so that it could nurse from its mother. Now, that action is not something that makes it liable, because that's not doing a malacha. Now, the invalidation of the para aduma only happened because of the guy's thought. Because he's thought, once the para aduma is going into nurse, let it also thresh as it's going. That's essentially what's called a grumma benizakin. It's just a causation, but it's not a direct cause of when it comes to damages where the halacha is actually that you're going to be exempt, because it's the thought that actually creates the invalidation. And regarding machshava, you can't make someone liable. Now, the reason is because here, the invalidation is because of his thought, as the Gemara says in Pesachim Chavav Mebeis, where the Gemara learns out from the way the word is written and the way it's pronounced, which is that Ubed has to be similar to Avad, meaning it has to be something that it could be done not through your actions, but if you prefer it, then it's considered as an invalidation. So therefore says the Gemara, here the action that he did, the reason why he's not Chayv B'dei Adam is because he didn't even do an action of Hezek, even of Shein and Nikr. You're right, Hezek, Shein and Nikr, Shmei Hezek. And you should be Chai B'dei Adam. But he didn't even do Hezek, Shein and Nikr. This said he got the paradum and he made him go into the barn. That wasn't a Hezek, because that's not considered doing a malacha, to go to nurse. It's only the fact that you wanted and you liked the fact that it was threshing. That is something that's considered the Nichele part, makes it like as if you did a malacha. That was just in thought. That's a grum, ben Nizak and his pater. That's why he pater B'dei Adam. Now, so to Mechatas, the case of the chatas waters is tomat sheshokol behen mishkolis, that you weighed weights with it. In other words, where the mechatas, this water of the purification waters, was hanging on one side of the scale, and he knew the weight of how much that mechatas is, and he puts a piece of meat to weigh on the other side, which he's using it as a weight, where you didn't do any action in the water itself. It was the thought that you wanted to use it as a weight. In other words, if let's say you would just needed to put the piece of meat down somewhere and there was nowhere to put it, you put it on the scale. That didn't do a malacha with the water because you weren't weighing, you were just putting the meat somewhere. But you're wanting, you're thinking that, I want to weigh with it. That is what does a malacha with it. That's the same idea. That's also grama ben izakin, and that's why you're going to be exempt, not because hezek shein nikar lo shmei hezek, even if shmei hezek, but because you didn't even do an act of mazik, it was only a grama, and a grama, you're exempt. Now the Gemara asks, however, on this halacha, the way we describe the case of mechatas is that you weighed with it. That's why you only chayv b'dei shemayim, let's say, but not b'dei adam, because it's just a grama. By that, the Gemara asked Vamarav, but Rava said, mechatas, regarding the purification waters, as we continue on Tamid Beis, shashokol behen mishkol, is that you weighed with it, is kesheira, is kasher. In other words, you're explaining why you're not chayv b'dei adam, but you made it sound like that it's going to be pasul, that's why you chayv b'dei shemayim, but what Rava makes it sound like that it's actually going to be kasher. So the Gemara says, like kasha, it's not a difficulty. Ha, in the case of the b'raisa, that sounds like that it becomes pasul at least, although you're not chayv b'dei adam, is talking about where you weighed begufan. You actually did like the way butchers usually do, is that when they want to weigh a piece of meat, they have a vessel that has certain markings along with it as it goes higher and higher, and they immerse the piece of meat in the water. Now, when they put the piece of meat in the water, however high it gets to whichever marker it is, then they know however much weight will make it go up to a certain type of marker. That type of weighing, yes, that's doing actual work with the water itself. That's going to create a psul in the mechatas. Whereas ha, the case of Rava, is bekenegdon. Is where, like we explained before, is where when it's on one side of the scale and the other one's on the other side of the scale, we're not doing actual work with the water itself. It's the cause, it's the machshava that you have that you want to weigh by the other side. That's going to be totally kosher. Now, the Gemara 1 is bekufan. How can you say the case of the brayis is toma when you actually put meat in the mechatas itself, but maisa kavod behu? Then you're actually doing an action with the water itself, and then we're back to the question. Ve'i hazik shein in nekesh mehazik yiviholi chizkiya, that even unrecognizable damage, but if it's causing a damage, it's halachically considered like a damage. So bedini adam namel chayiv, then you're back to the question. The brayis should say you're not only making a pasul and yichayiv b'dei shemayim, you should even be chayiv b'dei adam. Tell Rav, the Gemara concludes and says, no. Idibi kenegdim lekasha, both the Braisa and Rav are talking about where you're not weighing the meat in the water itself, you're not doing malacha with it. It's on the scale, it's on either side of the scale, and still it's not a contradiction. Because ha, the case of Rav Elazar in the Braisa is talking about the asach daite. The reason why it's becoming puzzle, you're right, it's not because of the weighing. The weighing is not a problem, as the Gemara will explain regarding Rav. But here, since you're using it as a weight, so your masir das, you remove your thought of protecting the water because you're using it as a weight. So that's actually what makes it possible because of Hesach Adas. Because the Pasuk tells us, as we quoted this before, the Mishmeris Lemei Nida says that it should be safeguarded for purification waters, which means that it has to be constantly safeguarded. Now, so that's why it's going to be possible. But you're not going to be liable from Bedini Adam in the courts because, again, that's a case of Grama Ba'amo. You didn't do anything actively with it, just your lack of oversight is causing it to be puzzled. That's a grumma, that's a causation, that's not chayiv b'dei adam. That's the case of the braisa. Ha, Rava that said that's going to be kosher, it's the loy asach daite, where he didn't remove his thought about it. All the time he was thinking, okay, I'm using this as a weight, but I gotta protect this to be the mishmeres lemei nida. That's why it's going to be kosher, even l'ketchila, because you weren't masir das. And moreover, you didn't do anything with the waters. When you waited, it's not going to be considered doing any melacha. That's why it's going to be kosher. But again, the Gemara has not refuted the interpretation of Chizkiya, who holds that Hezek Shein and Nikr is Shemei Hezek. But the Gemara continues asking. Masav Rav Papa. Rav Papa asks from the following Braisa, again on Chizkiya, that holds Hezek Shein and Nikr is Shemei Hezek. The Braisa says, Gozel Matbeya B'Nifsel. If someone, let's say, steals a coin, then, while he still has it, it becomes Pasul, which means to say that the government invalidates all that currency. They introduced a whole new currency. Or let's say Truma V'Nitmis. Let's say someone steals Truma. And then while he still has it, it becomes tamei by itself. He didn't make it tamei. Sheretz fell on it while he had it. Or chametz v'avrolav ha-pesach. Well, let's say he stole chametz. And then by the time he was still holding on to it, it became Pesach time. Which again, all these cases are talking about where these things are all useless. The money is not valid currency anymore. Truma is tamei. And the chametz was already, Pesach had already passed, which made it aser banah. Still the Braisa says, oy meloy, the thief could tell the guy he stole from, harei sholchal lefanecha. Here, behold, this is yours in front of you. In other words, he could just return what he had stolen from him, as long as he gives him back the actual object that he stole. The reason being is because the Pasuk tells us, v'heishav esek zeh l'shagazli, you should return the stolen object which you stole, and he's returning it. It didn't change. It looks the same exact way. It's just you can't use it anymore, but it's the same thing, same piece of bread. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, V'i amrit hezik shein and nikashmi hezik, but if you hold a chizkiya, that unrecognizable damage is considered damage. So, hi goslin who? This guy is a thief. In other words, when he stole, when he pulled it away from the guy and he took it. So, once it enters his domain, he's a thief. Now, he has to pay the guy back. When he's paying back the thing that was stolen from that guy, and then it became damaged, although unrecognizable, but once chametz passes by or when it becomes invalid currency and all these things, he's not returning it exactly as it was when it was stolen because it's damaged. You can't return damaged goods. Although it's unrecognizable, it looks the same, but it's not the same. You hold hezek, chayni, nikar, shmei, hezek. So, he has to pay back valid payment. You stole something worth $100. Now, the halacha is you could return the thing as it is because it's the same thing. It's intact. But you say Hezek Shein and Nikar is Shmei Hezek. It's not intact, although it looks the same, but it's not. It's worth only $50 instead of $100. You got to pay back the price of you stole it. So now the Gemara concludes to you if there's a refutation of the opinion of Chizki. Obviously, we hold Hezek in the Nikar is loish me Hezek. So it's not considered damage, so you can return it as it is. Now, obviously, this guy has no utility for it, but it doesn't make a difference. For my purposes, as the Goslin, it's not considered like it was damaged, and I'm returning it to you as is, as was stolen from you. But according to Chizki, that wouldn't make sense, and therefore this refutes his interpretation. Now, however, the Gemara says, Limikatanoi. Let's actually say that the machlekes that we mentioned before, if Hezek Sheni Nikar Shmi Hezek or not, is a machlekes Tanoi. How so? Because we learned in the following Braisa. Again, like the halacha of our Mishnah, those cases, if someone makes his friend's produce tame, or he makes it in truma, or he does away the zar with it, so echad shagid vechad mezit, chayiv. Whether the person who did it inadvertently or deliberately, is going to be liable, that's divrei meir. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he says, no, b'shagig pater, if you did it by mistake, then you're exempt. But mezit chayiv, if you do it deliberately, you're going to be chayiv, like the halacha of our Mishnah. So says the Gemara, isn't this what they're arguing about? Why? Demar, the Remeir Saber, he holds, Hezek Sheni Nikar is Shmei Hezek. Meaning he holds like Chizkiya, that unrecognizable damage is considered damage. Therefore, even if you do it inadvertently, you're still going to be liable. Because as we mentioned before, the Gemara Baba Kama Chavav Mabez learns out that even Shegig, you're Chayiv when you're Adam Hamazik. So since Hezek Sheni Nikar is Shmei Hezek, you're going to be Chayiv, even if when you did it, B'Shegig. Whereas Amar Sava, but Rabbi Yehuda holds, Loish Mei Hezek, he holds that's not considered damage. Therefore, when you do it deliberately, there you're going to be chayv, as we said in the Mishnah, because of a knas, of tikkun oilam. But when you did it b'shagi, when it doesn't apply knas, then you're not going to be chayv. So similarly, the machlekes we mentioned before, Avam Ayram, is a machlekes tanoim. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says no. The Kuli Alma Hezek Shein and Nikol Loish Mei Hezek, everyone agrees, as we actually had proved and refuted Chizkiya before, holds that unrecognizable damage is not considered damage. But the machlekes remain in Yehuda is regarding that did we penalize even when you do it by mistake because of when you might come to do it deliberately? Where Demar, the Remeir Saber, he holds, we penalize even when you do it by mistake because of the case when you do it deliberately. Meaning, as Rashi explains, even though actually doing it deliberately itself is itself a penalty, but we include it also, we really don't want people doing this to other people's stuff. So even if we do it by mistake, we're going to include you in that penalty. Whereas Amar Sabah, like Kansas Shagat Ameza, but Rabbi Yehuda held that, no, we don't penalize when you do it by mistake because of when you do it deliberately. Deliberately itself is just a penalty. And therefore, B'mezit is when you're Chayiv B'nat B'shagi. So therefore, again, the Gemara says we could still refute Chizkiya, and this Machlekes Tanoim would still agree Hezek Shein and Nikol Loish Mei Hezek. Their Machlekes is, are we Kansas Shagig Otu Mezit? Now, based on this interpretation, the Gemara says, V'ramid Remeir Ad Remeir. Now, it seems to be a contradiction in Remeir's opinions, as we'll see from other places, and V'ramid Rabbi Yehuda Ad Rabbi Yehuda, and seeming to be there's a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation. The Tanya, like learned in the Braisa. Hamavashal b'Shabbos. If someone cooks on Shabbos, which is definitely forbidden, it's one of the Lama Tes Melochas of cooking on Shabbos. So if he cooks b'shoigik, inadvertently, by mistake, he didn't realize he was cooking, so yoichel, then even he himself could eat the food that he made, even on Shabbos. But b'mezit, if he deliberately violated the halacha of Shabbos of cooking, then lo yoichel, then he cannot eat, as Rashi explains in Masechet Ksubis, meaning the person himself who cooked deliberately on Shabbos, he can never eat that food. But other Jewish people could eat it, and those who explained this, meaning on Matzah Shabbos. That's the opinion, Divrei Reb Meir. Now, seemingly we see from this halacha that he does not penalized Shagig at the Mezid. Because although he holds the Mezid, he can never eat it. But by Shagig, when he does it by mistake, he holds that you could eat it. That's the contradiction of Remeir. Because just before we said that Remeir is Kansur Shagig at the Mezid, and he was saying that he's not Kansur Shagig at the Mezid. Now, Rabbi Hudaimer, we have a contradiction in his opinion too. He says, Bish Shagig, when he cooked by mistake, then Yechel, he himself could eat the food, although not on Shabbos, but Lamatzah Shabbos. After Shabbos, he could, as long as he waits what's called Bechdei Shiyasu, the amount of time that it would take to do the malacha that you did on Shabbos, we don't want you to gain from that. So after Shabbos, let's say it took you 2 hours to cook, then you would have to wait 2 hours and then you could eat it. But not on Shabbos. Why? Because he's Kanes Shagigot Umezit. Meaning to say, although you did it by mistake and there's no reason to penalize you, but Rabbi Yehuda says, we penalize you when you do it by mistake because of the case when you might do it deliberately, which is that for himself, it's going to be forbidden. And again, that contradicts Rabbi Yehuda that we mentioned before, that he's not Kansur Shagot Amezit. And b'meizid, when the guy does it deliberately, then lo yechol lomas, then he can't eat it forever, meaning himself. Now, third opinion mentioned, Rabbi Yochanan Hasan Loimer, he says, b'shoigig, when the guy cooks by mistake, he's the most stringent. He says, yechol matzah Shabbos l'acherim, that only others could eat it on matzah Shabbos, b'loy loy, not for him. And b'meizid, if the guy cooked deliberately, lo yechol lomas, it cannot be eaten forever, loy loy b'loy l'acherim, not him or others. Now, that the reason is, as the Gemara explains in Baba Kama and Masechet Ksubis, is because Rabbi Yochanan holds what's called Maisa Shabbos, a forbidden action of a malacha on Shabbos, is forbidden to consume. So those are the three opinions in that brisa. But what the Gemara wants this for is Kashra Me'adre Meir and Kashra Be'udah Be'huda, like we mentioned before. We mentioned previously that there's Machloik is Re'meir and Be'huda, that Re'meir is Kan Neshoigo to Mezid, and Be'huda is not Kan Neshoigo to Mezid. Yet here we have in this brisa the exact opposite. Re'meir says that we're not Kan Neshoigo to Mezid. He could eat if he cooked by mistake on Shabbos, and Be'mezid he can't. And Rabbi Huda is the one that is Kandashayga of the Mez. He says, you cannot eat on Shabbos, even though you did it by mistake. So the Gemara answers and says, it's not a contradiction. Remeir's opinions are not a contradiction, because Ki Kandas, when did we say in the previous discussion that he penalizes Shayga of the Mez? That is Bidrab Bonon. Those are by rabbinic halachas. For example, when you metama your friend's produce, or when you mix in truma to your friend's produce, that's just a rabbinic prohibition. The reason being is because actually biblically, since we say hezek sheni nikir lo shmei hezek, so you didn't do any biblical violation of being mazik someone else. Now, it's a rabbinic violation. Rabbinic violations is, as the Gemara says many places, are tzrichin chizik. It needs support because people can say, it's just the issur d'rabbanan. So therefore, that's where Meir says that even if you do it by mistake, we're going to include that in the penalty because we really want people to be careful with rabbinic prohibitions like metame and medameya. But regarding the case of this price of cooking on Shabbos, where that's a biblical prohibition, there is not so common that people would come to violate a biblical prohibition, and therefore, b'deraisa like on this, there, yes, Remeir doesn't hold you, you have to penalize a shegig or to maze it. Now, but however, the Gemara asks, wait a second, v'amenasich, but the third case that we mentioned in our Mishnah, meaning which was the previous price that we quoted in the Machlekes Remeir and Yehuda, that menasich is avodah zarah, is doing wine libations for idol worship, doiraisu, avodah zarah is a biblical prohibition, it's in the Ten Commandments, for kokonis, and yet still Remeir holds that we penalize shayga to mezid. Didn't you just say, as we see regarding Bishlon Shabbos, that is not kind of shayga to mezid by doiraisu? So the Gemara answers, you're right, but mishum chumras avodah kachavim, because of the severity of idol worship, because we really want to keep people far away from that iser, so konisle, that's why Remeir, even though he generally does not penalize by biblical prohibitions, there to support the Isra of Avodah Zarah, there he did penalize of Shayga Ota Mezid. But again, usually it's only by Rabbanan and not by Deraisa. And the Gemara answers, Rabbi Huda Loi Kasha, and also Rabbi Huda's opinion is not contradictory. Because Ki Loi Kanes, when does he not penalize Shayga Ota Mezid, as we said in the previous discussion? That's by Rabbanan, like by Metame and Medameya, where it's just a rabbinic violation, there he doesn't penalize the person. By Deraisa Kanes. But by a biblical prohibition, since you did a pretty severe iser, so then we penalize you to prevent you from ever coming to do a deraisa. That's a pretty severe thing. But by a rabbinic iser, which, although we don't want you violating rabbinics, but it's a less severe violation, so there Rabbi Huda didn't penalize including a shaygig by mistake because of a deliberate. No, they're only b'mezid he penalized and not by a shaygig. Now the Gemara asks, but v'homenasech deraisa, but the third case mentioned over there was menasich, which is a biblical violation, which avodah zarah v'loy kanes, and he doesn't penalize. Didn't you say that he penalizes by deraisa and not by derabbanan? So the Gemara says mishum chumrat avodah kechavim, which is the opposite logic of Remeir, because of idol worship is so severe, mivdal bedili mine. People don't go close to idol worship, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda holds we didn't have to penalize. Although, yes, by deraisa you did a severe issur, we're going to penalize you, but by idol worship, you're not going to do it again so fast. Pretty severe issur, and therefore we don't have to include the shagig atu mezid. So again, that answers the question, although we said that how they hold, and that's the machloikis, although they hold hezik shein and nikol lo yishmei hezik, their machloikis regarding mitame medameya menasich, if your konsu shagig atu mezid, that's by the rabbanan, but they actually hold opposite logic by mevashah b'shabbos b'shagig, which they raisa. There, they hold the opposite of each other's opinions, where Remeir again actually is not kana shagi atamezi by deraisa, and Yehuda is kana shagi atamezi by deraisa. But the Gemara continues asking and says, still veramid Remeir by deraisa. there still seems to be a contradiction in Reb Meir's opinion regarding biblical, meaning, because although we just mentioned before that regarding Mevashel B'Shabbos B'Shogeg, where Reb Meir does not penalize by biblical law, seemingly, the Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Reb Meir is kind of Shogeg Atameizid, even by Deiraisa. As the Braisa says, Hanateya B'Shabbos, if someone plants on Shabbos, which that's also an Issa Deiraisa, so the Braisa says, B'Shogeg Yikayim, if he did it by mistake, he could keep that tree planted. But B'meizid Ya'akar, if you did it deliberately, you violated Issa on Shabbos, then you have to rip it out after Shabbos. U'b'shviyas, however, regards to Shemitah law, which is also forbidden to plant, Be'im B'shogeg, Be'im B'meizid Ya'akar, whether if you did it by mistake or whether you did it deliberately, you have to rip it out. That's Divrei Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. Now, here we learn that regarding Shabbos, which is Deiraisa, as the Gemara will address this point, he actually does not make a knas, but the primary point that Gemara is asking is that regarding Shemitah, Reb Meir says clearly whether you did it by mistake or deliberately, you're going to have to rip it out. So we see that by a case of Deiraisa, which is biblically forbidden to plant on the Shemitah year, Reb Meir says that you can be kanas, so you got to maze it, which contradicts what we said before regarding Mevashel B'Shabbos B'Shogeg, which he said that by Deiraisa, we're not kanas, so you got to maze it. So too, Reb Yehuda Omer, in this Braisa, he says, Bishvius, if you planted under Shemitah year, Bishogig Yikaim, if you did it by mistake, you could maintain that plant. Which again, that contradicts what we mentioned before from Rabbi Yehuda, where he said that we're not going to penalize by Deiraisa. And here he's not penalizing by Deiraisa. But Meisa Yaakar, if you did it deliberately, then you have to rip it out. Well, Bishabbos and on Shabbos, Bein Bishogig Bein Meisa Yaakar, whether if you did it by mistake or if you did it deliberately, then you have to rip it out. So as Rashi explains, actually, the contradiction is not just in Reb Meir's own opinions of Deiraisa. It's actually in Reb Yehuda's opinions also. But Rashi says it's just because the first opinion mentioned the Braisa was Reb Meir, so that's the one that we picked first to illustrate this contradiction. But the Maskana, the conclusion of the Gemara, Rashi says, will actually resolve both contradictions, both of Reb Meir and of Reb Yehuda, because actually, as the Gemara answers right now, that this halacha of this braisa depends on different svaras. Why? Because as the Gemara says, ulutameich, according to your reasoning that you're asking the question, that you're asking from what we said in the previous braisa of Mevashel B'Shabbos B'Shogeg, which was deiraisa, which we had Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda's opinions regarding if the kana shogeg or demezid, and here you have the halacha of Shemitah, which contradicts those halachas of Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. By that, the Gemara says, according to your reasoning that you're asking from Shemitah on Shabbos, which they're both Deiraisa, and now it's coming out opposite of what they hold regarding there, well, tikshulach gufa. What do you mean? You don't have to go schlep and go ask from a different Braisa. The Braisa itself is a paradox, is internal contradiction. Because Mechti, let's see. Had Deiraisa v'had Deiraisa. Both of the halachas mentioned in the Braisa that remain in Yehuda are discussing of Shabbos, of planting on Shabbos and on Shemitah year, are both biblical violations. Maishno Shabbos and Maishno Shvius. Now, what's the difference between Shabbos and Shemitah? Both of them differentiate where one of them they say is a problem only b'mezid, and the other one they say is a problem even b'shogeg. But why should you differentiate if you hold whatever it is that you hold regarding deiraisa, if you penalize shogeg or the mezid or not? Ella, rather, answers the Gemara, Hasam kediktani taima. The halacha of Shemitah is different. That's as we learned the reason over there, because actually Umre Meir, he explains. It says, Memneima ani Omer, why is it that I say that b'Shabbos, that when regarding planting on Shabbos, I say, b'shogeg yikayim. If you did it by mistake, you could maintain it. B'mezid ya'akar. If you did it deliberately, then you have to rip it up. Which actually, that halacha of Shabbos makes sense, as we illustrated before for a mayor on Mevashel B'Shabbos B'shogeg, because regarding biblical violations, we're not kind of shogeg to mezid. So it makes sense. Mevashel B'Shabbos, regarding planting on Shabbos, shogeg, we're not going to penalize you. But why is it that I say regarding planting on the Shemitah year, I say whether if you did it deliberately or even by mistake, you have to rip it up. So that Rameh explains. That's for a different reason. Meaning usually you're not going to shogeg at mezid by deraisa. But because Memneshi Yisrael Mainin, since Jewish people, they count the years of how old is their tree, their sapling, they're going to count l'shvius. They're going to count from the Shemitah year. In other words, why do they have to count how old a tree is? Because there's halacha known as arla. The first 3 years of a tree, the fruits are forbidden. You have to know also the fourth year, which is called revai, that you have to do certain things with those produce. And then you have to deconsecrate it and bring it up to Yerushalayim. Now, someone who sees this tree, oh, 3 years, I see he wasn't using it. Now the fourth year, now he's using it. He's going to count backwards 3 or 4 years. Wait a second. That means that he planted in the Shemitah year. And this guy's going to come to permit now planting in Shemitah. I see people are planting in Shemitah. I'm going to do that too. Whereas, as the Gemara continues on top of Nadal Medal, Ve'ein Ma'inim, but people don't count their saplings l'shabbosis for what day is Shabbos. In other words, because no one counts days for planting, they count years. So therefore, it's never going to be known that the person had planted a long time ago on Shabbos. So therefore, since it's never going to come out, that's why there's a differentiation. By biblical law, we don't penalize Shagrat HaMeizid. But there's a different concern by Shemitah, and again, this answers for Rabbi Yehuda also, which is because by Shemitah year, people might then realize retroactively that it was planted in the Shemitah year. So then you got to rip it out. Even though you did it b'shoge, people are not going to know. People are going to think that you're allowed to plant in the Shemitah year. Now, Davar Acher, another interpretation, Nechshedu Yisrael al HaShviyah, says Rav Meir, Jewish people are suspect regarding planting in the Shemitah year, but they're not suspect regarding planting on Shabbos. That's another reason to differentiate between Shemitah and Shabbos. Now, the Gemara asks, my Davar Acher, what's the necessity of this other reason to differentiate between Shemitah and Shabbos? Why on Shabbos we wouldn't penalize Shagot HaMeizid, but Shemitah we would. So that the Gemara says, Hachikam, what Rav Meir was saying was as follows. He was addressing a concern you might have with his first interpretation, and that is, V'chitem, and if you're going to say that actually Shabbos Nami, regarding my concern for Shemitah, you actually might have that sometimes with Shabbos too. How so? Because Zimnin, sometimes, you're going to have to count backwards and see that it actually was planted on Shabbos. Because we learned in the Braisa, if someone plants Erev Shemitah year, 30 days before Shoshana, that's considered a whole year, as it's counted for the halachas of Arla, which means that once Rosh Hashanah comes, even though it was only planted for 30 days, Rosh Hashanah then starts a second year. Meaning because we consider 30 days before the end of the year as if it's a whole year. So then since it wasn't planted in the Shemitah year, it was planted the previous year, as long as it was 30 days before, you're allowed to hold on to it, and you can maintain it in the Shemitah year. But if it's planted less than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, then it's not considered like it was its own year, and then actually you wouldn't be able to maintain that tree in the Shemitah year. Now, so therefore, says the Gemara, sometimes it's going to happen, the miklo yom lamed b'Shabbos, the 30 days before Rosh Hashanah will happen to be Shabbos. So what's going to be that if you plant it on Shabbos, it could be 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Now, if you planted that day, it's going to come out that that's why it was considered as if you had a whole year before the Shemitah year. Now, because if not, if you wouldn't count that day of Shabbos, then then you wouldn't have had as if you had planted the year before Shemitah. Now, so therefore, what's going to happen is if at a later point in time, people are going to be eating from the fruits of this tree, seemingly after 2 years. And they're going to say, wait a second, why is it permitted to eat from the fruits of this tree after 2 years? We know that the first 3 years is considered Arla. So the owner is going to say, oh, it's okay because although it's 2 years, it's a little bit older than 2 years. How so? Because 30 days before Rosh Hashanah is already considered like a whole year. And I planted it 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Now, he's going to remember, you know what happened was? I did it by mistake. I didn't realize. But he's going to mention this. He's going to say, I planted it on Shabbos. So therefore, you would think that then you should penalize him because then it's going to happen to the same problem as the Shemitah. I mean, if we kind of go to Mezi because people are going to calculate backwards, I'm going to realize you planted in Shemitah, they might come to plant the Shemitah. Says the Gemara, what Rami was concerned was that you might find the case that the same thing can happen with Shabbos. That the person will calculate, this guy said he planted 30 days before the Rosh Hashanah 3 years ago, goes back to his calendar. That was a Shabbos. He planted 30 days before he planted on Shabbos. So then you might run into the same problem that we should penalize the person even when he did a b'shoge to have to rip it out because then people might come to be lax and plant on Shabbos. Toshima, that's what Rami was addressing and saying Dava Acher. There's another difference. Nechshedu Yisrael al HaShviyos. Jewish people are suspect regarding planting in the Shemitah year. In other words, you have to be concerned when this guy mentions that people are becoming aware that this is the fourth year or the fifth year after it was planted, he's going to calculate it backwards and see that it was planted on Shemitah, that then people might come to the Bilax also, I know him, he also did on Shemitah, even though he did a B'shegig, but he doesn't know that, he might come to plant on Shemitah, so then we have to uproot it even if it was done B'shegig. But that's what Meir is saying, even if it's going to be mentioned that it was planted 30 days before 2 years ago, and the guy's going to calculate and realize that the guy had did it on Shabbos, he's still not going to come to plant on Shabbos because Jewish people are not suspected of doing work on Shabbos. And therefore, says Rav Meir, even if you'll find a case where it could be calculated backwards or planted on Shabbos, Still, we don't have to be kind of shaygu at the mezid, and therefore it falls back into the regular halacha according to a mayor, which is by derais, we're not kind of shaygu at the mezid. That's the resolution for a mayor why Shemitah is different. And says the Gemara, so too, Rabbi Huda like Kasha, so too, now we understand why the halacha is different regarding Shemitah, and it's not a difficulty regarding Rabbi Huda's opinion, because although we said before that Rabbi Huda penalizes by Dairaisa Shaygot Emezid, and yet by Shemitah, he doesn't, meaning Shabbos he does. And that makes sense with his previous halacha, planting on Shabbos and on cooking on Shabbos. But why by Shemitah does he hold that it's only a problem by Mezid and not by Shaygig? Isn't it a Dairaisa? And that the Gemara says again, Shemitah is different. Because Ba'asid Rabbi Huda Chamir Lehushvius, in the location of Rabbi Huda, the halacha of Shemitah was very stringent. As we find that Huda Amalei Lechaver, as one guy had said to his friend, Dayur by the Yarta, which literally means to say, a convert, the son of a female convert, which he was mocking him. So Amalei, the other guy said back to him, Ano, what are you making fun of me? Ano loy achli peri de shviz kavasach, I don't need the produce of Shemitah like you. So you see that was considered a real disrespectful type of thing. So we obviously, because that was considered very stringent by them, the halacha of Shemitah, and therefore, you're right. Although Rabbi Yehuda generally, as we said before, is kana shaygo temezid by deraisa, which he does not do by derabanan. So why by Shemitah is he not kana shaygo temezid? That's because since in his location was a very severe thing, like we said, the svara by avodah zara, it's so severe we don't have to be kana shaygo temezid because people are not going to go ahead and do this again. And therefore, the only thing we have to penalize is when it's done b'mezid, and not when it's done b'shaygig.